This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. I am known as the last of the red hot book lovers, but I don't want to be the last one. I want all of you to become book lovers because our future depends on it. It is really getting ridiculous as I've been looking this past holiday period in December, I did a little personal investigation into what people are reading or not reading. And I was shocked because I asked everybody that I met, I had my hair done. I talked to the people in the beauty salon. I had my nails done. I talked to them. I talked to everybody. I asked everybody, what have you read this year? I wanted to know. And what was absolutely shocking was that so many hadn't read anything. Now, of course, many of my listeners and many of you are readers because that's why you're listening to Joy on Paper, because you want to know the story behind the book. Or you're writers and you've written a book and you want to know more. Or you are one of those people that I talk about. You are a dreamer and you want to write a book. But the amazing number of people who have not read a book this year, in 2023, this past year, can you imagine? After going through the pandemic and those horrible years where everything seemed all to mishmash together, it is now 2024. And I think it's so important as we are looking at a year that we have an election, we have all sorts of things happening in this world that people have to be aware of. And the truth is, they're not. One of the things that, you know, as I asked people what they read and they told me nothing. Now, all right, we can say by class, perhaps somebody, you know, you look at somebody, you say, well, maybe the waitress doesn't read. But actually, the person I found who read the most was the waitress. I talked to a waitress in Waffle House, and we got into this lovely discussion of the books that she loves to read. So when she's not being a waitress, she's reading. And in the back of her mind, she's hoping someday when she retires, she's going to write a book. It's there. She has some, as she explained it, she has some crazy family members who would be ideal characters in her book. But this is the exciting thing. There are so many people out there who have these stories to be told, and they don't know how to start. They don't know what to do. And they're just wasting so much of their precious time. How long does it take to read a 350-page book? What do you think is the actual time that it takes an average person, high school graduate, let's say, although that doesn't mean too much nowadays? It should take about 9 to 10 hours to read a 350-page book. Now, of course, if you come from Chicago or Philadelphia, where the literacy rates of children in school are, I mean, they're ridiculous. They can't read. They're illiterate. But the average, let's say, average person should be able to read a 350-page book in 10 hours, spread out over a day, 2 days, 3 days, a week, a month, whatever. But they should be able to do that. But what are they doing? And this is, you've heard that expression, in one ear, out the other. Well, that's what's happening to people nowadays. I know, for me, of course, I am on the computer a lot. I do a lot of research. But I, at one point, I suppose years ago, I did get into that thing of looking at what's happening in the world and what's new. But this is such a waste. When you look at it and you think to yourself, if I just look at this year, 2024, and first of all, I want to talk about the dreamers, the people who want to write a book. And they say, I want to write a book. I have a book in me. And I believe everybody has a book in them. And some people, you don't necessarily have to write it down by yourself on a computer. You might get somebody in your family to help you. If you're a person who's sort of not computer savvy and you're not comfortable typing, if you're somebody like that, you might have somebody in your family who would love for you to dictate your story in a, you know, a recording and then transcribe it for you and put it on paper, and then you can start working with it. And that's one way to write a book. But if you are a person who wants to write a book, you just got to start. It's just as simple as that. You have to get those words on paper. And so often I find people are saying to themselves, oh, well, you know, I don't know if I can do it. And I want you to believe in yourself and to believe that the words are there for you. All the words that you need to write a book are within you already. It's just that you have to start pulling them out and start thinking about words as words and finding the joy in each word and how to put it together. One of the things I've really enjoyed being able to do is to promote poetry on Joy on Paper, because poetry is a way to see words and to understand them and to feel the power of what one word can do, and two words, put them together. And in no time, you can actually start feeling alive that you are creating something. Now, I want to play a song. And this is a song that many of you have heard. It is actually poetry. And so we're going to play this song. I want you to try to pick out the words as you're listening. And can I say this nicely? Calm down. It is not a short song. It's not like 2 minutes. Because we have turned into these people who cannot handle more than a 30-second commercial. People get antsy. And this is something else I tested with people this week, this past few weeks. I played them bits of songs, bits of books, and I said, you know, are you listening? And I found that people are getting antsy. They're like, what? They want it over with. Why? Enjoy yourself. Enjoy and get lost in the words. So I'm going to play, this is an old song from Joan Baez. Listen to it, try to pick out some words, and then I'll talk about it after. Ten. Now, you know, that is so lovely. If you listen to it carefully, you heard words that were a simple story. She's telling a story. Now, this is, of course, Joan Baez, and it's her famous song, Diamonds and Rust, which I think is one of her best songs. And she is singing, of course, a song that first she wrote the poem. And it is a lovely little poem. And when you look at it, if I hope that, you know, if you're going to spend time online, do something that will really, it will get into your brain. If you look at this, at the lyrics of this song, it is so clever because she is telling a simple story about her relationship with Bob Dylan, of course, who later did win the Nobel Prize in Literature. And one of the lines, I love it. So she's simply talking about, you know, their relationship, a simple thing like buying cufflinks, all of the little things that made up this story of their relationship. And what's so beautiful about it, and what's really, it's one of the things that I love, why I wanted this one is because it speaks to people in the way that you will probably want to speak to people. You say exactly what's in your mind at the time. And it starts off with a line that, you know, when I remember people would say, well, can you use a swear word? Well, it's not really a swear word, but it starts out, well, I'll be damned. Well, yeah, this is how she starts the poem and then goes on to tell this very, very touching story about her relationship with Bob Dylan, which later collapsed, of course. But it is a fascinating look at two people in history and how she connected their story, a simple story. One of the lines is, and here I sit, hand on the telephone, hearing a voice I'd known. Now, how many times have you been on the telephone and it is a voice you've known from the past, somebody calling you who you haven't perhaps spoken to for years, but immediately you have that sort of catch in your voice, the beating of your heart, you recognize the voice and so many memories come back. Now she took that emotion, she took that power and she turned it into a poem. And using simple words, there's nothing fancy. She didn't have to go, you know, and search in the dictionary for words, which I discovered one poet was telling me, well, one person who was writing poetry said, well, I don't have a dictionary. I don't have a rhyming dictionary. Poetry doesn't have to rhyme. Much of the greatest poetry does not rhyme. Now, of course, there's rhyming poetry, but it doesn't have to rhyme. Believe me, it's something that unfortunately they don't know how to teach. They don't know how to teach poetry in school, and they certainly don't know how to teach it nowadays. I actually have a which I keep next to me, a third grade book from 1906, and in that book, this is third grade. Third grade book, and they have Keats and Yeats, and they have all sorts of brilliant poetry for a third grade reader in those days. You could not. Our college graduates don't read those poems anymore, and that's the sadness about what's happening in this world. I don't know if you realize that we have almost 50 million Americans who are illiterate, and that's before the recent upsurge in the numbers of Americans. So if we have that many people who cannot read, I mean, they cannot read, or as I said, if they've gone to a school in one of the major cities in the United States, 80% of the children in Chicago do not read to grade level. so many of the graduates from Philadelphia, they can't read at all. And in colleges, like Harvard and all of the big colleges, students are getting straight A's, and they never, I don't think they've ever read a poem in all the years that they've gone to college. So the thing is, I somehow this year, I want to do a little project where we start asking people, what have they read? And then if they haven't read something recently, give them a book. Give them a book that you like. And talk to people about the books that you read. I discovered that a lot of people, they have books that they love and that they've read and they've enjoyed, but they don't talk to anyone about them. They don't share them. And one of the things I want to do, hopefully this year, is to do more of a book club style thing so that we can talk and you can write to me about the books that you're reading. And I hope also to get more people on the program who will talk about the books they're reading and just everyday people, because so often people are like, oh, well, I need to be at a certain level, or I need to, you know, everybody can read. As I said, it doesn't matter. I had this wonderful, wonderful mailman when I first started. Now, you know, I'm going to celebrate the 9th anniversary of Joy on Paper in March. But I had, in the beginning, when I first started the program, I had a mailman who, you know, I started getting lots of books. I started getting books every week. I got started getting books every day, and he was delivering the books. And so we got into discussions about books. And he's the one who told me he could have a PhD in Baldacci. And I didn't understand him. And he explained that David Baldacci was the author that he most related to. And he read everything David Baldacci wrote. I mean, everything. And he listened to all the Audible books. And so he knew all the books. And as he was going around, you know, delivering his mail, he was listening all the time. He kept an Audible book going. So you can do that too. You can find an author that you like. And, you know, if that's all you read for the whole year, that's fine. You can read whatever you want. But read. Stop with all this surfing the net for five. You know, the average person is spending 5 hours a day going around on the net, looking at stuff. And I'm talking to a lot of these people are working, and I have a feeling a lot of the government employees who are working at home instead of going into the office are searching and surfing the net. So instead, take some time and start reading. Read a book and send me an email at patsy.radio@gmail.com. Tell me the book you're reading. I will be happy to talk to you about it offline. I will be happy to talk to you if you have questions, and also if you have suggestions of books that you want me to recommend to people. So all I want this year in 2024, I want more people reading. And if you have any children in your life, anyone, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, great nieces, great nephew, find out what their reading level is and make sure that they are not just reading to grade, because really what they call reading to grade is ridiculous. They should be reading way above grade, and make sure that you give books to them and talk to them about books. This is one of the things. This is so many people do not talk to other people about books. And if a book has made a difference in your life, then it might make a difference in somebody else's life. So start talking to people and start giving books. This is going to be a year of giving books. Give books to your mailman. Give books to the woman who does your hair. Give somebody a book and get them involved, because you never know what it will spur. And next thing you know, they will want to write a book. And just like Bria Burton, who is going to be the guest host here next Tuesday with a very special 1 hour sci-fi special to talk about her joy in reading and her love of writing sci-fi herself. But right now we're going to play a book buzz that Bria did for a guest that she's going to have on her program. So let's listen to that. Then we'll have a few commercials. And then I will be back with an interview with a literary agent.
Hello, fellow sci-fi readers. This is author Bria Burton reporting for Joy on Paper with your science fiction book buzz. Today's communique to galaxies near and far includes a 2023 space opera, Medusa Falling by G.S. Jensen, with stellar narration by Piper Down. This Cosmic Shores novel is a standalone adventure set in the Amaranth universe. Now, let's download the book buzz. Ambassador Marley Morano steps out of her own world through a wormhole portal, leaving Concord behind and entering the alien planet Bellaria, smacking headlong into the scene of a murder. First contact with the alien race known as Belliscosians should have been a diplomatic meet and greet, not an event that turned Marley into the witness of a crime. The evident murderer, a Belliscosian named Galien, kidnaps Marley and brings her to the secret rebel base of the Tarazi, a group protecting the Desbida, victims of a shadow government that the rest of the world believes is nothing more than a theory. One of the Desbida shares the truth of her story with Marley, who realizes she's misunderstood nearly everything she'd witnessed. But the Tarazi don't trust her to keep their secrets from her own government on Concord, and they block her quantum communications, which means the rising tensions between the two planets could escalate into all-out war. Marley will do whatever it takes to keep that from happening, even if it means risking her own life for her new friends. This espionage space opera mashup launches readers into a page-turning adventure that's sure to please with a little subterfuge on the side. G.S. Jensen, an internationally best-selling author since her first novel, Starshine, was published in 2014, is a gypsy at heart. When she isn't writing, she's gaming or working out, or she's sitting on her back porch with a glass of wine looking up at the stars, trying to figure out what could be up there. This is Bria Burton with your futuristic fiction fix, signing off.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Looking for inspiration? Looking for something that will intrigue you? Then this book is for you. Jim Lamb's poems start out as caterpillars, creepy, crawly, and raw. Then a miracle happens as they transform into colorful, bright, and conspicuous works of art. You can find Jim's new book of poetry, Hurting Butterflies, at Amazon.com. It's the perfect gift for the book lover in your life, even if it's you. Hurting Butterflies, the perfect holiday gift, available on Amazon. Get Hurting Butterflies.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Thank you. This is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with my next guest. One of the things that I'm always looking for are agents who are open and are ready to accept queries. So I'm so happy to welcome to the program today John Cusick, who is with Folio. Hi, John.
Hi, Patsy. How are you?
Oh, great. Well, it's so good to talk to you. You know, one of the things that really I enjoy so much about doing this program, I get to talk to so many best-selling authors, which is always just fantastic. Gives me a thrill. But one of the things I really enjoy is finding new writers who are just starting out. You know, I think you just have, like, one of the best jobs. You get paid to read.
It's true. I absolutely love being an agent. I got into the business sort of by accident. I knew I wanted to work in publishing when I got my start. And the first job I got happened to be an intern, sort of a personal assistant for a kids book agent. And I realized pretty quickly that this was one of the best jobs in the world. So I absolutely love it.
You know, when you find somebody and you can help them start their career, it must be very fulfilling for you.
It really is. You know, I think, you know, the book business is a business like any other, and it has its ups and downs and stresses and whatnot. But at the end of the day, you know, it's a great feeling to know that you are working with creative people and helping to sort of build their career and readership. And you know, I mean, one of my favorite things in the world to do is to be able to call one of my authors and say, oh, you know, we've got an offer on hand. We've got a publisher who's really interested, you know, and they know that their book is going to sell and that it's going to be out there in the world. I mean, that's a really wonderful moment.
Oh, it is. It's so exciting for them. And when you, you know, of course, it's a process. Of course, Folio is a major agency, and I know that they get thousands of queries. How many queries a day do you get yourself?
I get between 15 to 30 queries a day, and that's, you know, 7 days a week. So it's a pretty large number. And
it's a daunting task just to read them.
Yeah, it certainly is. The fact of the matter is there are just so many writers out there who want to be published, who want to make a career out of it. I think especially, you know, since the advent of books like Twilight and Harry Potter, you know, the kids book world is something that's on a lot of writers' radar for the first time in the past few years. So, you know, it is an incredibly competitive atmosphere, certainly.
Oh, it is a big market. And sometimes people don't understand that they're not just because they're for young people, they're not less brilliantly written.
Oh, absolutely,
and they,
yeah.
When they find an author, well, like when they found J.K. Rowling, that was it. You know, everything just was like magic after that.
Oh, it's absolutely true. I mean, the writing in YA or young adult versus the books for teens and middle grade, which is sort of that age range from about 8 or 9 up through about 12. You know, these books are at times incredibly complex and tackling very mature issues, very big real world issues. So it's certainly not a place where the writing is any less complicated or nuanced than, say, in the adult world.
Now, thinking of reading 200 queries, most people, when they write a query, I mean, they've worked pretty hard on that. They know what they're doing because, you know, I'm sure you can spot the ones who haven't put any work into it, and those get dumped immediately. But so many authors do spend a great deal of time. Can you tell when an author, just from the query letter, can you tell that they're talented?
I mean, you know, I would say when I'm reading a query, there's a couple of things that I'm looking for. Obviously, you know, is it a professionally written query? You know, is the writing right there in that query letter is sort of coherent and professional? Did they follow the submission guidelines? That's sort of the first thing that I'm going to notice. And the second thing I'm going to see is concept of the book that they are pitching me. And one of the realities of the kids book market is oftentimes very concept driven. Publishers only have so many slots on their list. So each book really has to earn its place on that list by being unique in some way. So I'm reading to see, okay, is the idea they're pitching me something that I think I sell based, you know, purely on that idea? Is it original? Does it sound compelling? Are there high stakes? You know, and that's the same holds true for a, you know, really beautiful literary coming of age or a romance or a sci-fi adventure. That rubric is still true no matter the genre. And then if the concept sounds like something that's really exciting and compelling, go on to the sample pages and see, okay, and is this person, you know, is their craft, is their line level writing polished enough? Is it something that I can really work with? So those are the sort of three things in that order that I'm reviewing when I look at a query. You know, the other part of my job is that when I take on a project after working on it with the author, you know, I'm sending it to publishers, sending it to editors that I think would be a great fit for for this particular novel. And so I sort of am writing my own version of a query letter in that instance. You know, it's sort of it's a submission letter. It's a pitch and describing the author and the project and why, you know, I think that this is a perfect book for this editor and this imprint. So, you know, I definitely did my share of query letter writing when I was younger, and now it's sort of evolved into a different form of query letter writing, you know, at the editor level.
You have an amazing client list of really brilliant writers, and I know that each of them loves you to pieces. I'm sure of that. Now, where can people find you?
I would say, if you're interested in submitting to me, go to Folio Junior, that's Folio, then JR.com, which is the website for the kids book department at Folio. And there are submission guidelines and sort of taste profiles for all the agents at Folio Junior, including myself. And you can click on my picture and see, you can see how to submit me there through that website.
Okay. Well, John, thank you so much for joining me today. I think you just do a wonderful job with your clients. It's an amazing list of writers. You're so famous in the business as being one of the one. No, really. When I talk to people, because I would say I want somebody who's really, you know, at the top doing young adult, and your name always comes up. I'm just so thrilled.
Thank you so much.
I'm so thrilled that I got to talk to you. So
you too.
Okay. Thanks again, John. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Bye bye for now.
Well, I so enjoyed talking to John. Now, as he said, he is doing children's books or young adult books, and it's at Folio Junior. He is busy. As he mentioned, he gets so many queries every day. But, you know, you never know. So you should check if you're writing a children's book or a young adult book. Check on Folio Junior to see if he is accepting. They have guidelines there. And if you're writing adult books, just check out regular Folio. They are a fantastic agency. One of the agencies that I know, it is so difficult nowadays to sell a book. It is so difficult to promote a book. And you really, if you are lucky enough to find an agent, then you can do it. And if you find an agent, somebody like John Cusack, who will get behind you and work hard to get your book out there, that's fantastic. So it's Folio, and it's a wonderful agency, and you should check it out. They have guidelines, and people, please follow the guidelines. It is so important, and there are rules for query letters and what you have to say in them and what you have to do in order to impress a literary agent. But again, everything in life, there are exceptions to the rule. So you don't know. It has to be, your query letter has to express yourself. And as he said, you have to sound and write professionally, because you know, an agent wants to make money. I mean, that's what they want to do. They want to make money for themselves. But how do they make money for themselves? By making money for you. So if they know that you're going to be an author who not just is writing one book, but that you're going to have a career as a writer, that's what they are looking for. I mean, they would be happy to take one book, you know, if you came along with the next Gone with the Wind, or, you know, that's one book authors, they would be happy with that. But generally speaking, they are looking for a career. They want a writer who's going to be writing for 20 or 30 years, which means cha-ching, cha-ching. They are bringing in money. They are getting royalties over the years. And that's what they're looking for. So definitely check out John Cusack. He's also a writer of children's books. And if I was you, and if I was going to write a children's book and I wanted to get an agent, and when an agent has written a book, I suggest you read one or two or three of his or her books, because it is a nice opening. If you get that second chance, they come back to you and they say, well, I'm interested in you, and you have this opportunity, it's very nice if you can say, oh, by the way, I read your book. And, everybody's has an ego. So if you've read their book, let's just say they will remember you more fondly than somebody who hasn't read their book. So that's another thing to do, because a lot of agents out there, a lot of agents have written books. Now, I will say not all of them are great, although John Cusack's books are great. His kids' books are absolutely fantastic. Nevertheless, I would still read an agent's book if an agent had. And what does that mean? How would you know if an agent has written a book? The fact is, you've done your research, because you do not submit to an agent unless you've done the research. If you've checked out their, not just the literary agent, that agency that they belong to, but you've checked them out. You've looked to see if they've written a book. You look at their Facebook page. You don't want to hound them. You don't want to, become a stalker. But you do want to know a little bit about them. And that helps you. I will tell you one thing. I do know an agent who it was very funny. She said that she started communicating with a would-be author, somebody looking for an agent, more because the woman was writing about her cat, and the agent is a cat lover. So, you never know. There are twists and turns in life, but definitely you have to think about what you're doing when you submit a query letter. But remember, you don't have to be published by a major publisher. You can, and if you check into it, you can find out that, not everybody has necessarily gone through an agent. And a lot of indie authors are really selling tons and tons of books. And if you want to look back on it, Charles Dickens himself became an indie publisher, an indie published author, because when nobody wanted The Christmas Carol, he said, what the heck? I'm going to publish it myself. So, the amazing thing is you can write and you can find a publisher, or you can publish it yourself and you can be a success. But even if you don't make millions of dollars, just by writing, you have become a success. Just by knowing that you put words on paper, you've become a success. And one of the things, here at Joy on Paper, we're talking about authors and how they write books, and about the books out there that you should read. Now, I want to recommend a writer. She's no longer with us. She's a wonderful woman, and she wrote a series of books A to Y. And I interviewed her for the last book in her series that was supposed to be the 26th book, and she didn't quite make it. But that doesn't mean she's forgotten, not by me, and I hope not by you. I want to play a book buzz that Rita Moreau, who is also an author of the Ghost and Camper Kooky Mystery series, is... she is a special correspondent here on Joy on Paper, and she does book buzzes for mysteries that you should not miss. And so here is a book buzz that she did for Sue Grafton back many years ago. Here it is.
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest on book buzz. If you are like me as a fan of Sue Grafton, you are wishing there were more letters in the alphabet. Having followed Kinsey Millhone from the beginning with A is for Alibi, you've got to ask yourself, will Kinsey find closure or love? Sue Grafton first introduced Kinsey in the alphabet series all the way back in 1982. And since then, both writer and heroine have become icons and international bestsellers. With her 25th book in her alphabet series, Why Is for Yesterday, here's the buzz. This will be the darkest and most disturbing case Kinsey will tackle. A vicious sociopath with a grudge against Kinsey. In this book, you have to ask yourself, will Kinsey discover what Y stands for? Chilling. Y is for Yesterday. Get it online. This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper. For more of my suggestions on the mysteries you should not miss, click on Book Buzz with Rita Moreau. Buzzing off for now.
Okay, special thanks to Rita Moreau for that. And she's going to be back in January. She's going to be recording lots of book buzzes for the authors who have been on Joy on Paper in 2023 and some of the ones coming up in 2024. So I'm very happy that she's going to do that. And as I said, when I was looking back at the years as I'm getting ready for the 9th anniversary and thinking about the authors who are no longer with us, I don't want them to be forgotten, just like Mary Higgins Clark, who was on the program many times. I loved her books. I love her books today. I still, and I have, you know, I have a bookcase next to me. And those are the books that I pick up every once in a while when I've sort of overloaded on new books and books that I'm, you know, nowadays, of course, I get so many books. Sometimes I get 10 a week. But I will pick up a book that is a friend. And that's what books become if you let them. Because so many of us, those who are book lovers, always think of books as our friends. They are there. And as I said, I keep my friends next to me, and right there I have two Mary Higgins Clark. I have two or three of Sue Grafton's. And Sue Grafton has a special place in my heart because she became really one of the golden threads of Joy on Paper. I talk about authors as golden threads because so many of them I have a connection to that I didn't know about. And that's what happens, you know, in this world. You don't know unless you go out there and start talking to people, the connections. You might find out as you're talking to somebody that, well, my goodness, they were born in Cincinnati and now I'm living in Cincinnati. And so you find all these connections to people, and it really is a joy. And with Sue Grafton, it was a particular joy because when I first spoke to her here on Joy on Paper, I didn't actually remember that I had met her. I had met her when I was in Hollywood. She was working in Hollywood at the same time as I was. It was so funny that we knew the same people. We were at some of the same parties, and later on, after I had spoken to her on the program, we spoke offline and we caught up on things. And we both worked in labs, in hospital labs when we were young, which is a wonderful thing to do. Actually, I wish more people would be able to do it nowadays with all this stuff. You can't get jobs in hospitals like we used to. One of the things is, I always love how she would throw in some mention of a lab or some mention of or use something from a lab in her writing. Like she would describe a yellowish shirt as urine colored, which is the kind of thing that I could relate to. So she definitely is a golden thread. And as I said, we had planned to talk about Z when it came out. It never came out. I don't know. Perhaps her family is working on putting a version out. And one of the things also we talked about is because of the experience in Hollywood and how, I mean, that was one of the things I did. I took books and I turned them into scripts. And of course, I didn't use a lot of the book because so often that happens in Hollywood. And she knew that, of course, she thought her books would be just ruined. So she didn't want to do it. And she was offered seven figures to sell her series to Hollywood. I think eventually her family will sell it, and then we'll see a whole streaming series of Sue Grafton A to Y. She is a good author. If you're going to say, I want to take an author and I want to read every one of her books, there are 25 books in that series. So it's an opportunity to really study, and you learn a lot. The changes in her writing from book one to book 25. That's fascinating. For anybody who's an author, that is a really interesting study. Anyway, I want to again thank Rita Moreau for her book buzzes, Devon Miller for doing his book buzzes for kids, and of course, Bria Burton for doing her sci-fi series of book buzzes. And I'm so happy that next Tuesday she will be behind the microphone and talking to two authors and really getting the backstory to their writing. This is what we do here, and that's what we want to do. We want to bring books to you that will entice you to read more. Because if you look at it, and to write, and for those of you who have contacted me and said, well, you know, I heard that some of your people, listeners, did NaNoWriMo, and they wrote a book in November. You don't have to write. You don't have to write a book in November. You can write a book all year round. And if you think about it, this year, 2024, there are going to be 366 days in this year because it's leap year. So you have an extra day. And if you write just 100 words a day, think of that. You write 100 words a day. That's not a lot, a few paragraphs. If you write 100 words a day, at the end of the year, you're going to have 36,600 words. Whoa. Now, that's the size of a novella. So if you wrote 200 words, you would have a book over 70,000 words, which would be a real book, a full book. It can be done, but one of the things, it's discipline. It's absolute. It's actually right at the top. It's discipline. You have to say, I'm tired of surfing around and wasting my time on just looking at nonsense on another story about the Kardashians online. You don't need it. It's not going to do any good for you or your family or your grandchildren or great-grandchildren or, you know, 100 years down the line, your great-great-great-grandchildren will say, well, what did so-and-so do? And even if your book is just a book that sells, you know, a few thousand books to friends, it's a book. It'll be there swimming down the Amazon, as all the books will be. They don't disappear. They will be on the Amazon, just like Sue Grafton's books are on the Amazon. You have 25 books. All you have to do is go online and order one of her books. And if you write a book, if you write 100 words a day, you can have a novella at the end of the year, and it can be a story about your family, about your life, about some historical character you love. Just get involved and do something and write. Now, one of the people I know who writes 1,000 words a day, and that's because she's prolific, is Carol J. Perry. She doesn't give up. You know, it is so amazing that when she started here 9 years ago on Joy on Paper, she had written her first book. She's now working on the 15th book in her Witch City Mystery series, set in Salem. It's a wonderful series. And, you know, think about it. In less than 9 years, she's written 15 books. And you can do it too. All you have to do is get busy and start writing. And say something nice to somebody today, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed. And I salute you, and he salutes me. Everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful day.